Blog Talk Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Tuesday morning programming of Lives of the Prophets. My name is William Kareem, and we will begin the show like this.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. All praises due to Allah, the guardian, evolver, the cherisher, and the sustainer of all the worlds. We are so very thankful to be with you here again on American Muslim 360 for another day or another week. But we are very fortunate indeed. So today what we're going to do, this is the lives of the prophets, and just to go over some of the prophets that we've addressed. We went over Prophet Adam. We started with Prophet Adam and then to Prophet Idris, which is also known as Enoch. We also did Prophet Noah or Noah. Then we went to Prophet Hud, Prophet Salih, Prophet Ibrahim, and also Prophet Ishmael. We did that also. So if we were supposed to continue in that line, it would be Prophet Ishak at that time that we will be doing today, Prophet Ishak. I don't think there's a lot on Prophet Ishak, so we may do two prophets today. Of course, from Prophet Ishak, we go to Prophet Jacob or Yaqub, which is going to be very interesting. So I'm working right now to pull up the prophet, but I'm going to take this time. I'm going to take this time to go ahead and play a PSA while I'm basically looking for the prophet. Okay, so promo for All About Courtship and Marriage. We'll do that one. All right, so just give me one moment here.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Thank you so very much for that. Okay, so let me see here. So they went all the way there. Okay, so they went from charade, well, which is, right, so what we're doing, because I believe last week we were discussing Ishmael. The only reason why I remember that is because of the whole idea of Ishmael, Abraham coming to Ishmael's house and telling him to change his the doorstep. That's what I remember about that, which was interesting. That was a very interesting piece. You speak with Abraham. Okay, so we're right around that area. Yeah, this is from Ibn Kathir, The Lives of the Prophets, and Abraham, leader having prophet, and then it goes straight into Prophet Lot. And which was interesting is that it goes from Ishmael, Isaac, Yaqub, and goes to Lot. So it has to be in between. Prophet Lot and Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Lot. And so let's see what it says here. Verily, among mankind we have the best to Abraham and those who follow him and their prophet and those who have believed. And Allah is the protector of the believers, Surah 365. Then verily your Lord, for those who do dwell, commit sins in ignorance and afterwards repent and do righteous deeds, verily, your Lord, after such. Okay, so we have that. Then we go to, verily, Abraham was a leader, having all the good righteous qualities for a nation, in obedient to Allah, to worship none but Allah. And he was not one of those who were polytheists. And then it goes on. He chose him as an intimate friend and guided him to a straight path. I think one of the things that was interesting about, and just to put Abraham's humanity in context, with Abraham, he had to sacrifice his son. See, think about that for a minute. You know, here it is. You know, your Lord has guided you through a whole lot. Abraham was guided through a whole lot. He got away with a lot. You know, when he did the thing in the temple, when he smashed all the gods up, and he was able to get away with that. And then, you know, like, yo, he was in the fire. And when we talk about the fire, we talk about we're talking about the passions and flames of intellect with these, with the leaders, and he was cool through it, the whole thing, and Allah blessed him to get through that. You know, then he went through the same with his wife, which was Sarah, and he's traveling, and the king tells him to come, and you know, he lies. You know, this was one of the times when he lied. They said that Abraham lied three times. One was about the idols, and the second time it was about his wife, when he told his wife, look, don't tell them that you're my wife, but just tell them that you're my sister. And so, you know, and Allah blessed him to get through that, okay? But now, this is who we're talking about. We're talking about this man who had a great relationship with his Lord. He's a human being like you and like me. You know, when we read about him, oh, he did this, he was that, oh, he was great. He was. But he was great because of the relationship and the faith that he had in the one he said that he worshipped. But now we come to a situation where he's told, you're going to have to sacrifice your son, his only son. And he's told, hey, Abraham, you got to sacrifice your son. Now imagine somebody saying that to you. You're a believer. You're a believer. Allah's pulled you through so much, and all of a sudden, you get what you say is a revelation. It says, you got to sacrifice your son. What do you do? What do you do? Well, the book tells us what Abraham did. Abraham, he didn't just go, yo, you know, like, yo, I got to sacrifice my son. No. He was worried about that. And we know that he was worried about that. How you know? Well, how you know, Kareem? You wasn't there. The book tells us that. But it tells us, this is how it tells us. It says, so he went to his son and said, the Creator, Allah told me that I have to sacrifice you on the altar. What did his son do? His son didn't say, what? What's wrong with you? You got to sacrifice me? You got to take my life? Come on. Come on, Pop. I don't know what that's all about, man. Look, I don't know. Maybe you got that wrong, Pop. I mean, maybe you got that wrong, Pop. I mean, you know, like, that don't even make sense, Pop. You know, his son didn't do that. His son didn't say that. What did his son say? And this was the confirmation to Abraham. His son said, well, Pop, if Allah told you to do it, then do what you must do. That's how much faith his son had in his father's relationship with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. He believed in his father so much because of all the things that they had went through. Remember, I remember we talked about this last week. We talked about how, you know, all of that happened, and he wound up Ishmael's mother. You know, Abraham, after that whole situation with Sarah, with the king, so the king gives him Hajar as a maidservant. She don't know what's going on. She don't know what the future holds. Next thing you know, his wife Sarah can't have a baby. Next thing you know, Sarah says, listen, marry Hajar, and then in marrying Hajar, you know, you can go ahead and have. He marries Hajar. He has a relationship with her. She has a son. She has a son, and then when she has the son, then it comes to a point where Abraham again is told, hey, listen, I want you to take your wife and your kid and take them out there to the desert where there's no people around. You know, just desert. That's what I want you to do. And Abraham just does it. And how much faith did Hajar have in him? The book tells us. She don't say, what the heck is wrong with you? I mean, she's a little pissed off about it. That's what the book tells us. But she asked him a question. She asked him the question. First of all, she started off. She's like, yo, what's wrong with you? You getting ready to take us out here in the desert? And she started like that. And he don't say nothing. You're going to leave us out here? You're just going to take us out? You're going to leave us out here? That's how she started off. But she asked him a question. And what was the question that she asked? You know, she said, did Allah tell you to do this? Did your Lord tell you to do this? Now, he had been quiet all that time. And when she asked him that question, what did he answer? He answered, yes. So again, this is proof that, you know, like, look, Abraham, you know, he was doing things according to his Lord. And when Hajar asked him, well, did your Lord tell you to do this? And when he said yes, then what did she say? She said, then we're going to be all right. That's how much faith that she had in Abraham. And you know how the story goes. I mean, that was a hardship, and that was a hard circumstance and situation. Now, we're saying all this to get to Ishmael. Okay, so that's a hard situation. Ishmael's out there with his mother. You know, they run back and forth, Ahawa and Mawa. You know, the ritual that you have to perform on Hajj, and she's running back and forth. And then, you know, like somebody starts talking to her. She said, yo, if there's anybody out here and you can hear me, we need something to happen. And next thing you know, she said, well, you know, strike your foot on the ground. And that's where the water comes up. When the water comes up, then she makes a bowl out of it. And when she makes the bowl out of it, you know, the water, the well of Zamzam comes. Now, we're talking about now the circumstances and situation that followed that led up to this. That led up to this. But if all that in Abraham's past hadn't happened, then we wouldn't have got to the situation of the bowl. Then we transfer forward, and now, you know, Abraham comes and tells his son, says, you know, son, you know, my Lord tells me I got to sacrifice you. And his son wasn't like, what? Listen, Pop, man, listen, you got to go back to your Lord. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. No, his son doesn't say that. His son says, oh, Father, do what your Lord has told you to do. So that was the confirmation. His heart, it was a tug at his heart for that. But when his son confirmed that it was okay, his son said, well, Father, do what your Lord told you to do. Now he's open now. Abraham, I'm talking about Abraham. Now Abraham is open. Say, like, whew, Lord, man, I thought I was going crazy for a minute there. You know? But his son, the faith and the trust that the son had in his father, when his father told him, listen, I got to sacrifice you, it tugged at Abraham's heart. It's his only son. So he said, Father, do what you must do. And Abraham was ready to do it, and Allah came through and said, no, you have fulfilled what I wanted you to do, sacrifice that lamb. So I thought that was a really important piece for us to understand in this day and time. I mean, we don't have those kind of circumstances and situations, you know, here in America. We don't have that. And, you know, those kinds of, we don't have prophets, you know, that communicate like that. But the same thing happened with Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. When, you know, like the angel came to him and he was like, he came home and he was like, what's wrong? His wife said, well, what's wrong? Yeah, you know, look, you know, like, there's this angel that came to me, man, you know, and, you know, it said that, you know, like, read in the name of your Lord who created it. So she supported him. And, you know, and she basically told him, look, you a good man, you feed people, you know, you do this and you do that. You know, like, and if angel came to you, then I believe that that's what happened. We're going to do what we can to confirm. So after Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his human self doubted himself. He doubted himself when that revelation came to him. He's like, because this was out of the normal. This was, you know, unique. It was a unique circumstance and situation in his life. But he got confirmation from someone that's outside of himself, that knew him, that could see him, and said, listen, if that's what you saw, then you're a good man. You know, that wasn't a negative spirit. That was a good spirit because, you know, you are a good man. You do a whole lot of good things. You do this and that and that. And she supported him. And then she went and got her uncle, and her uncle supported that too. So it made him a whole lot more comfortable in accepting the message. Because at the very beginning, because it was like, you know, what am I going crazy here? So that made him much more comfortable. Of course, it said, yo, he's a good man, and this, here, that, this. So, you know, I just wanted to make that point. All right, Abraham left Egypt accompanied by his nephew Lot, who then went to the city of Sodom and the Western Bank. We talked about this. But see that it doesn't go into, because they say from Abraham it goes to Ishmael, Isaac, and then Jacob, and then Lot. And right here, it's going straight to Lot. Lot's message, it was at the height of these crimes and sins that Allah revealed to Prophet Lot that he should summon the people to give up their indecent behavior, but they were so deeply sunk in their moral habits that they were deaf to Lot's preaching, swamped in their unnatural desires. They refused to listen, even when Lot warned them of Allah's punishment. This is what I have to do, though. I got to take a couple of minutes. I got to take a moment. And I got to play a PSA. What is interesting with this is, okay, there we go, because it was still on intros. So, yes, yesterday we talked about the upload life, and this is American Muslim 360, and American Muslim 360 is part of the upload life because many of the PSAs that we're playing, they are uploaded onto the Blog Talk Radio platform, okay? So that's why we're able to play them. We're on a upload platform, Blog Talk Radio. We're on that platform. And so you are able to call in and listen. But, you know, this is, you know, again, what we talked about, the frequency. Even though, you know, like, you know, we're on the computer, you can call in. There's a frequency on the cell phone or the radio frequency. You know, it's higher than the radio frequency. It's lower than the television frequency, but it's higher than the radio frequency. So you use your cell phone and you call in, and you can. That's how you're able to get us here on American Muslim 360 on your telephone because of, you know, part of the upload life, and it's a good thing, right? And this is good because we'll be able to communicate with each other. I'm in New York, and there's people from 810-972-914, 727-267. These are telephone numbers. These are telephone numbers from all over the country. And we're able to call in and be with each other on this radio program. So I'm going to play this. PSA, and this one is an important one. This is about Alzheimer's, and I think that that's important. So let's get into that.
Hi, I'm Sebastian Maniscalco, and my grandfather passed away from Alzheimer's disease in 2005. The Alzheimer's Foundation of America is a national nonprofit agency that's here to help. If you or someone you love has questions about the disease, need someone to talk to, pick up the phone. Call Alzheimer's Foundation of America. Don't be embarrassed. They're here to help you. Call 866-232-8484. Don't forget.
Okay, and so that was about health. And we're going to play another one. This is about health. And this one is caregivers.
Okay, men. This is your time. Maybe you didn't choose this, but you're here now. You're going to go out there and be an all-star caregiver. It's up to you. So what are you going to do? You're going to go grocery shopping, cook, clean, be there emotionally and physically. You got to dig deeper. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments. Don't you forget about the pharmacy. I know you won't, because that's what caregivers do. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. This is your time to show the world, your family, and yourself that you're tougher than tough. Now go out there and be the best caregiver this world has ever seen. Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find the care guides you need at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Yeah, this is a very important message about caregivers. You know, sometime when you get older, you need caregivers. You know, the whole idea about Alzheimer's, this is something that they have named Alzheimer's. I mean, I don't remember Alzheimer's, you know, when I was growing up. My grandmother didn't have Alzheimer's. You know, and she lived to be 80-something years old. But I don't know what the situation is. It might be, you know, of course, of food or something. But what they have put in place is something that's called caregivers, where, you know, they will actually pay you. They might pay you to care for your parent or be the guardian or give them some time. Or you might, go to a home and, you know, something like that and give your time. I'm going to play another PSA, because it has to do with them. I think that a lot of times Alzheimer's and things like that, you know, we really have to take care of our health. We really do. So we're going to play this PSA for Optimal Health, which is a show that comes on American Muslim 360.
Join us every Monday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time for an episode of Optimal Health with your host, Abdul Shaheed, your certified symptometry health coach and doctoral student at the American School of Symptometry. It is our aim and objective every week on am360.org to enlighten health-conscious individuals on root cause therapeutics and provide them with guidance on general wellness and cell nourishment. Planet Earth is well known in symptometry as an echo chamber of illusion and a testing ground with booby traps everywhere. Come join us each week to learn about these booby traps that cause health to be denied. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in to listen to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Share comments at info@cwsc.us. Tweet us at CWSura. Email us at info@cwsc.us. Visit our parent corporation, Community-Wide Shura's Conference, at cwsc.us, or leave a listener comment at 910 317-0297. You are listening to AM 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
Alhamdulillah, thank you so very much. That's the show that comes on Mondays. So make sure you listen in. There may be some benefit that you might be able to get from that for, you know, optimal health. So we were talking about Lot, the message of Lot, and some kind of way we just skipped past Isaac and Jacob and went straight to Lot. But that's the way the book reads, so that's what we're going to continue. And so it was the height of these, the book read Lot's message. It was at the height of these crimes and sins that Allah revealed to Prophet Lot, that he should summon the people to give up their indecent behavior. But they were so deeply sunk in their moral habits that they were deaf to Lot's preaching. Swamped in their unnatural desires, they refused to listen even when Lot warned them of Allah's punishment. Instead, they threatened to drive him out of the city. I'm going to stop right here for a minute because I was communicating with a sister, beautiful sister. I mean, I've never met her, but she is so passionate. You know, she's a very passionate sister, and I really appreciate her. But there was a post, and the post said that a woman does not emerge from a man's rib, nor ever. It's he who emerges from her womb. That's what it said. Okay, I'm going to read that again. Woman does not emerge from a man's rib, not ever. It's he who emerges from her womb. Okay? So I said to her, I said, yes, that's true. But there is no emerging. If something isn't put into the womb for a womb for a woman to carry, stop separating and trying to one up. Man and woman need each other. So she said, I'm glad you said that. It shows the level of unconscious hypocrisy that exists within the doctrines of religion. All the religious world refers to Allah, God, as he. All the books reference the invisible God, he, as being the high governance of all mankind and creation and everything in it. But when woman speaks of her position as the mother of all creation, then he gets crap like this from you. Man and woman need each other. Well, you can't tell that we are needed at all from the stories in the books, because all they talk about is him. Okay? So, I stop to say that because Almighty Allah revealed, it was at the height of the crimes and sins that Allah revealed to Prophet Lot, that he should summon the people to give up their indecent behavior. And that they were deeply sunk in their immoral habits, that they were deaf to Lot's preaching. Now, swamped in their unnatural desires, they refused to listen even when Lot warned them of Allah's punishment. Instead, they threatened to drive him out of the city if he kept on preaching. So what's the point? The point is that the Creator talked to Lot. The Creator talked to Abraham. If there is a time that the Creator has talked to the woman to bring forth something in these harsh situations that these prophets go through, and we're talking about during the times that the sins and everything that was taking place during the time of Prophet Idris. We're talking about the sins and everything that was that came to Prophet Noah. Did the woman say anything about it? Did the message come from the woman to do that? It's not to say that it's not to say that women weren't, involved. The point is that the message came to a man, that the man felt strong enough to say the message. He felt strong enough that these crimes were being committed by men. So you don't send a woman to a man that's committing crime. You send another man to him. You don't send a woman. First thing you're gonna be going, who the hell are you? Get the hell out of my face. Go have a child. I'm talking about Prophet Enoch. Prophet Noah. When they were doing what they did, Allah didn't talk to a woman to make that happen. He talked to a man, because the man had to be strong enough to bring the message to the men who was doing wrong, not the women, to the men that was doing wrong. Prophet Hud, same thing. Prophet Salih, same thing. Prophet Abraham, same thing. There were men that had gone astray. So you don't send a woman to a man talking about, get the heck out of here. You send a man to a man. So that's the point that I'm making with her. And I said to her, I said, well, if that's the way that you, I said to her, I said, well, look, if that's the way that you feel about it, I said, well, what you say is true about him. I'm talking about, as far as, there's being a lot of men being mentioned as far as the books is concerned, about the men being the ones that write the book, about the men, about referring to Allah in his masculine power as he. While what you say is true about him, it does not negate the position I presented. Men and women need each other to keep the species surviving. That's true. And that's the only point that I was making. We didn't live during the times and points of history when the books were written. If a woman wrote an inspired word, then produce it. This is what I'm saying to her. If a woman wrote an inspired word, then produce it. Don't cry about it saying, what about women? But what about women? The books don't say anything about women. Show us how interested women were in delivering the inspired word. Show us during the times of history. I mean, there's a lot of corruption and everything going on. The position of women was under men at that time. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was the one who elevated the women. But before that, it was like, man, shut up and get in the corner. During the time of Prophet Muhammad, they were killing the women. They didn't want no women. I don't want no daughters. Give me men. These messages are coming through men because it's at the height of these crimes and sins. This is what I'm talking about. Lot's message, and it says, at the height of these crimes and sins that Allah revealed to Prophet Lot, peace be upon him, Prophet Lot or Prophet Lut, that he should summon the people to give up their indecent behavior. Allah didn't say, well, if he would have gave the message to a woman. Now, Allah has given messages to women. He gave the message to Musa's mother, throw him in a river. He gave the message to Miriam, leave, and you're going to have when you have this baby, go back to your people and don't say anything, just point to the baby. So, yeah, it's not to say that Allah doesn't, but Allah didn't, at the height of crimes and sins that Allah revealed to Miriam or anybody else, didn't say that. You need somebody strong. So he sent the prophet Lot that he should summon the people and give up their indecent behavior. We have a problem with that today. Hey, listen. with all the corruption and everything that's going down today, with all the corruption and everything that's going down today, you think that it's an easy thing to talk to people about the message? You think that it's an easy thing to do? You got to go in there strong. In this day and time, you got to go in there strong. What if a woman was supposed to go in there? What would they do? They call her all kinds of B-I-T-C-H. Who you think you talking to? Get out of my face. And the next thing you know, man, she might have to. Then she going to start hollering. And what's she going to say? Well, brother, you know, I'm talking. Shut up. Today, we talk about today. A man goes in there, and then another man, men who are the ones that are doing all the corruption, they say something to a man. The next thing they're going to be is like, the man's going to be, yo, who, I don't know who you think you're talking to. I don't know who you think you're talking to. Another man is not going to talk to another man like that because they know that if another man talks to a man in a disrespectful way, that you know, it's going to automatically cause a problem. Look what happened in the politics with the women in politics. Just the other day, a black man, I don't know his name, but he's talking to a white, I hate that I have to say that, but I just need you to understand that a black man is talking to this white, a black politician is arguing with a white politician. And when she went to the news conference, she said, I was afraid for my life because, you know, like he was so overpowering and, you know, I feared. That was her message. That was her message because she was trying to get, you know, the white people that follow her riled up so that they would give him a problem. That was her message. That's how she went in. But when you look at the video, she's smiling. They're arguing back and forth, and she's smiling. But she uses that as a trope because that's historically that's what we know that's what has happened as far as what white women have done. And I'm not saying this, you know, to be a racial or anything, but this is history. This is history. These are things that have happened in history. So that's why I'm using that. Okay. So, you know, when a man delivers a message to another man, the response is going to be different. That's the only point that I'm making. The senator from New York or the senator, councilperson, Ocasio-Cortez, she had a problem, you know, with a white guy that came after her in a negative way, called her out of her name and everything. You know, totally disrespected her outside of the chambers of Congress. Totally disrespected her. And when she went back on the floor, she mentioned, "Hey, nobody ain't say nothing. Ain't say nothing about it." But I'm just saying to you that you have to have a man go after a man because there's a certain amount of regard that when the argument happens. That a man talking to another man, it's going to be a whole different ball game. It's going to be a whole different ball game. So that's the point that we were making about that. You know that you know these messages are being delivered to men. So we continuing with the reading. Let me just say this: that if you have a question, you have a comment, then you can press one on your phone and come in to the queue. I don't want you to think that, you know, like I'm just here, you know, like giving a sermon, because I'm not. We read from, you know, prophets, the lives of the prophets, and making, you know, doing everything we can to make points about what has happened during that time and how it affects us today. So getting back to it, it says, Allah the Almighty revealed, the people of Lot, those dwelt in the towns of Sodom and Palestine, belied the messengers. When their brother Lot said to him, so listen to that. the people of Lot, those who dwelt in the town of Sodom, belied the messengers when their brother Lot said to them. When their brother Lot said to them, will you not fear Allah and obey him? Verily, I am a trustworthy messenger to you. So fear Allah, keep your duty to him, and obey me. No reward do I ask of you for it. My message of this, my reward is only from my Lord of mankind. So go you into the males of, go unto the males of the mankind, and leave those who Allah has created for you to be your wives. Nay, you are a trespassing people. They said, if you don't cease, not Lot. Now this is the response. Now this is a man talking to another, to men. If you cease not, Lot, verily you will be one of those who are driven out. That's what they told him. He said, this is men talking to men. He said, I am indeed one of those who disapproved with severe anger and fury of your actions of sodomy. My Lord, save me and my family from what they do. So we saved him and his family, all except an old woman, his wife, among those who remained behind. That's Surah 26, verse 160 through 171. If you want to read it yourself, read it in the Quran. That's what the Quran says. Okay? Now, what's interesting about this also, I'm doing a show today that's called Why Muslim Americans Don't Want to Get Married. And believe me, I really didn't want to really do this show, continue doing this show. But it is a problem. I continue to get messages from young men who say, look, I want to get a wife, you know, I want to have a wife, or, you know. And then there are sisters I read a communication where a sister said, and this was on Facebook, she said, I only get support from women. That's so I don't get any support from men. I get support from women. Muslim sister. And so I went back, I said, why is that? That's all I said. I said, well, why is that? And you know what she said? She said, well, you'll have to ask the brothers. She's not married. She had put up a post that said that the imam said to her, as beautiful of a sister that you are, why is it that you're not married? Now, you mean to tell me that there's no brothers that are approaching her? I believe that there are. I don't know for sure. But she's a beautiful sister. I love watching her because she says some very wonderful things, but she's not married. Why? Is there some freedoms and everything that she would have to give up? She wouldn't be able to, say the things that there was some things that she said that was, you know, that if I was her husband, I mean, you know, I'd tell her a couple of things. That she gets is the support that she wants to hear. She might say something that is, you know, a little off, and the sisters will come in. Yes, that's right, girl. You go. Allahu Akbar. You yes, sister. That's right, sister. You go ahead. That's the support that she gets from the women. But if a man was supposed to really, I know if I was supposed to really tell her about some of the things that she was talking about, she don't want to hear it. I'm telling you that I've been in situations where, you know, like I had to tell some sisters or a sister about something. Yeah, she don't want to hear that. The way that she was raising her child, she don't want to hear that. I don't want you telling me how to raise my child. Even though, you know, like I didn't raise four boys and two girls, four boys and three girls. I got that under my belt. And then I see something that's wrong with, you know, the way that a child is, like I said, and I say something about it. She don't want to hear that. She don't want to hear that. The only ones that I can talk about to some degree is the women in my family about, you know, the way that, and they may accept it. But other than that, And I'm talking about Muslim women. I had a Muslim sister. I mean, she was very, very grounded in the religion. But the way that she talked to me was like, well, what are you talking about, brother? You know, like, I'm older than you. You know, you need to back up. So how am I supposed to listen to her? When she's trying to preach to me, sis, you're not supposed to, sisters, you're not supposed to preach to a brother like that. If you have the brothers, now the brother might be wrong, but you have to do it with the right spirit. You come with the wrong spirit, that spirit is like, hey, who are you talking to? That's why a lot of women, and I'm not talking about Muslim women, I'm talking about a lot of women, especially African-American women, man, you know, they get into that spirit, you know. It's like a fighting spirit, and next thing you know, man, you know, like, they come with the wrong energy. And when you come with the wrong energy, then, you know, like, they could take it further. So that's, man, before a Muslim system would come like that, who you following? Who you following? Anyway, I think the point that we're getting today is that Allah, to the people of Lot, okay, and again, Surah 26, 160 through 171. I think that that's important. Lot's wife. Okay, so we have a call, 727-741. Assalamu alaikum. Your microphone is open. Who's calling? Where are you calling from?
Martha Naila Abdullah calling from St. Petersburg, Florida. And thank you, William. Alhamdulillah. Thank you for sharing that conversation too, back and forth on the about the men and women, and we know many ones probably don't know, but you know, I've been discussing the jinn, really wanting to understand the place and the space of our relationship with the jinn, with our spirit, that spirit that you're speaking of, and how we have to be in control of it. But it all goes back down to the basics of humbling ourselves and really truly asking for guidance of the relationship between men and women. Well, we know the male and female, but the men and women, that means that when we become thinkers, and how we're supposed, the disposition we're to have in the public eye as well as in our private domain. So I'll stop right there. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you so very much, Sister Martha Nala Williams. There, let me tell you this here. There are a lot of people that don't understand the jinn. I heard some mental health professionals, Muslim, man, they was hitting all around the subject of the jinn. I mean, they was trying to talk about the jinn, but they didn't have it. They would say something about the jinn, and then they would go back onto their scholarship that they learned as far as mental health, being a mental health professional. So they would say something about the jinn. They barely even said anything, get any quotes from the Quran, and then they would go right back into their ideas as far as mental health is concerned, because there are a lot of people that are having problems, and it's a lot. People have got to, let me say it like this. People should never forget where they come from. They should not forget that they are Adam and they are Hawa or Eve. Adam and Hawa. Adam and Hawa, they should not forget that. But people forget that. And, you know, that the Creator gave us this whole creation, you know, this whole creation to live from. But this world, you know, that this society, this culture that we live in can make you forget You're so much into the upload life. You're so much into sports. You're so much into all of these other things, and that you just kind of forget yourself. You kind of forget the basics, you know, who you are. I don't want to go too much into that because it can be a complicated subject. But we've been talking about it a lot on American Muslim 360 and A New Day for Al-Islam Community Radio. But as I was saying, that I didn't want to continue to do this show called Why Muslim Americans Don't Want to Get Married. But there were people. There were. I remember a brother. He communicated with me. Listen, you know, I need a wife. And you know, nobody's telling me anything about where I live. You know, where how I could go about doing that. And so, what we do on this radio program, or A New Day for Al-Islam Community Radio on Tuesdays, Why Muslim Americans Don't Want to Get Married, I recommend that you tune in from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock today. We'll have a spirited conversation. So every week I just go with the basics of what men need to do, young boys need to do to get married. You know, always, you know, have to put that out, you know, what they need to do to get married, because, and that's the basic script. Put that out, and then, you know, there's some of the things that, you know, like that we have to deal with, the way that society has designed things, and then some of the influences that are in the creation that will distract young men and women, where those other things become more important than, seeking a relationship. So that's going to be at, so we're going to continue to do that show because, you know, there's always something that's revealed on it, that show. And we have a robust conversation. We ask you to tune in. So we talked about, so they wanted to say something about Lot's wife. And so I got a couple of minutes left in the program, and so I'm going to do that. Lot's wife. The doings of Lot's people saddened his heart. Their unwholesome reputation spread throughout the land when he struggled against them. As the years passed, he persisted in his mission, but to no avail. No one responded to his call and believed except for the members of his family. And even in his household, not all the members believed. Lot's wife, like Noah's wife, a disbeliever, Allah Almighty declared, Allah set forth an example for those who disbelieve. This is Quran. Allah set forth an example for those who disbelieve. The wife of Noah and the wife of Lot. They were under two of our righteous slaves, but they both betrayed their husbands by rejecting their doctrines. So they, Noah and Lot, benefited them, their respective wives, not against Allah. And it was said, enter the fire along with those who enter. So relationships can get like that. Okay, I have to end the program because I only have 90 seconds left. Well, 60 seconds now. Thank you so very much. But, you know, this is something that, you know, like, but one of the things it doesn't say that they got divorced, that's for sure. That she divorced him and said, you know, like, you know, you got to have to give me some child support. They didn't say that. But that's what they got going on today in this world. Anyway, I want to thank you so very much, brothers and sisters, for taking the time to be with me on this Tuesday morning. And we look forward to being with you next Tuesday right here on American Muslim 360. With that, we're going to play out. This is the liability clause for American Muslim 360.
The views expressed on AM 360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the community-wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.